whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Brought to you by Rock Antenna, Germany's number one rock radio station.
Hello, everybody. We're here at the Rock Antenna studio with Taylor Momsen from the Pretty Reckless. Taylor, very nice, and thank you very much for making all the way to our little dungeon here.
We made it. I love it. Radio is the best. Radio is my favorite part of the day. So this is true. Well, I love rock radio. Like, I love listening to rock radio. And,
all right.
And so, and you guys are always really fun. I don't know. There's a like-mindedness, I think.
Oh,
between musician and radio hosts, and like we all like the same thing.
Well, we like rock and roll, I guess.
Yeah.
Before we talk about the new record, obviously I gotta ask you, how was it to be the support band in front of one of the toughest crowds you can ever imagine, being with AC/DC on tour?
It was it's kind of a funny story. So when we got the tour, I actually got quite a few phone calls from people in the industry warning me of said tough crowds, going, hey, just so you know, like, congratulations, but this is going to be the hardest tour you've ever done. Be prepared to be booed off the stage. Like, AC/DC's audience is loyal, and they only care about AC/DC. They do not want you on that stage. They're just waiting for you to get off. And it's apparently they're notorious for booing the opener. Having said that, so I was fully prepared for that.
Right.
Having said that, not our experience. Not our experience at all. Like, we've had a really fantastic time. And if there's one or two people in the front that I can see that don't seem to be into it, I make it my mission to win you over by the end. Like, I play a little game with myself, and I have not failed at that game yet. I haven't lost yet. And we've been out with them for about 2 years, and we're going out with them again in the States coming up. So it's been fantastic.
It's insane. I mean, I saw the both shows you played in Munich in 2024 with AC/DC, and I still thought that you, being the woman that you are, and I, you know, it's a tough crowd, but I thought you had to convince them just a little more that you are way more rock and roll than everybody would think.
Maybe a tad, but you know what? When Angus calls and requests your band to come on tour with them. You feel all right about you know what I mean? Like, they kind of, you kind of, that's like, that's a blessing from the rock gods that are AC/DC. So there's a, I know what you're saying, but really at the end of the day, we just play music and we do our thing, and you're either going to like us, you're not going to like us, and that's okay with me. That's fine.
How many shirts have you sold on this tour? Two or three?
Oh, I have no idea. I think AC/DC's merch is, I think, one of the greatest accomplishments of a band. Like, it's insane what they've done with their branding and merch. And, like, to the first time we stepped on the stage and it was dark, because we played in the summer, and so a lot of our sets were in the sunlight.
Yeah.
And but we've done some inside and we've done some later. And when it was dark and you look out at the stadium full of all the AC/DC horns, it's the coolest sight you've ever seen. Like, it's just, there's blinking red lights of devil horns, and it's just, I think it's absolutely genius.
This tour took a long time, and I was even more surprised that you could somehow find a way to record, write and record a new record. I mean, there's like 16, 17 songs on there. Or 14,
well,
you know?
So funny thing about that story, we finished touring Death by Rock and Roll, and I called my agent and I said, hey, no more touring. We're done.
Yeah.
I'm going to the studio. I've got way too many songs I've got to record. Like, we've been living in Death by Rock and Roll for too long now, and I'm dying to make new material. So he goes, okay, even if it's for something big. And I went, yeah, no, don't call me. Like, nothing. And I said very flippantly at the end of the phone call, as a joke, I went, unless, like, you know, the Rolling Stones or AC/DC call, don't bother picking up the phone. And he goes, I got it, no touring. And I go, yeah. So we get in the studio. I have the record written. We're starting to record. It's some of the greatest sessions we've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in a way that it's hard to express, like, because the studio is a tumultuous environment and it's either working or it's not working. And this was flowing like magic. Fantastic. And my phone rings and it's my agent. And I go, why is he calling me? I told him not to call me. And I pick it up and he goes, Taylor, you're not going to believe this, but AC/DC just called and they want to take you out on the road. And I thought he was kidding. Needless to say, he was not. So we tabled the record. We hit pause, went back into rehearsals, got ready to go out with AC/DC. And about a week before we left, or maybe two weeks before we left, the phone rings again. And he goes, Taylor, the Rolling Stones also called?
He goes,
so you're going to play with the Stones in Vegas at the stadium there, and then you're going to get directly on a plane and fly to Germany and play with AC/DC when you land. So we played with the Stones and AC/DC in the same week. And so I don't know if I have got some witch powers or what, but like it went from a joke to a reality, and it's and it made it so that when we recorded Dear God, we had to do it in between AC/DC tours,
yeah.
Which was a different kind of process, but we magically found that flow every time, and it was great.
When those songs, as you said, were like a couple of years old already, did you go back and rework them? Or did you just take them from where you started and stopped and then?
We kind of just pick up where we left off, which is cool because each section of my life at that moment in time, like AC/DC was its own bubble, and then you get back into the studio and it's the same walls and it's the same space and our gear's the same place and my posters are in my vocal booth and it feels like you never left. So there's this very kind of split brain thing happening for me where I was going and being this person and then jumping back into being the creator, and it was interesting, but worked miraculously.
Well, I do have to ask you, with all the songs that I've heard and with the record title, what's your relationship to God?
That's a good question. I think in the context of Dear God, God is representative. It's not necessarily in a, formed, organized religion kind of way. It's more God is representative of something grander than you. The entire record is kind of a letter to God. It's a confession. It's a plea. It's taking all aspects of my life and putting them together in this very kind of brutally honest way. it's less a relationship with God per se and more of, talking to something that is bigger than yourself. If that makes sense. But the imagery is based in, in Christianity, because I grew up in the church and I was raised Catholic and went to Catholic school. And yeah. And so when I associate, if I think of God or something like that, I associate that with that kind of imagery because that's how I was raised.
All right. The record, I heard it a couple of times now. It seems to be flawless.
Thank you.
I would tell you if there's,
I believe you.
But how do you guys write music together? It seems like, when you listen to it, it seems like the old way, like you're in a room and you're playing together.
Yeah. Well, the songs, it's yes and no to that. The songs themselves, I write alone. Or with Ben. Ben and I are the two writers of the band. And so we don't write in the studio.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to write on the road. Like, it requires a lot of isolation for me, and it's a lot of thought and a lot of sitting inside your own mind and, waiting for inspiration to strike you, which is kind of a long and tumultuous process because you never know when that's going to come. And songs kind of fall from the sky a lot of the time, while drawing upon your own life, of course. But so the process of the song is, I look at the song like it's the king. It's without songs, you have nothing. And so it starts there. And then we're just simply servants to the song. And so when we get into the studio and we bring in the band and we start playing through it, all we're trying to accomplish and do is to somehow make what I hear in my head come out the other end of the speakers, so everyone else can hear it too. So it's a little bit of trial and error, but at the same time, the songs are so well formed and so well developed that I know exactly what they should be by the time we're in the studio. And I think that kind of obvious, we've been a band for a really long time, so then we can hear where it's supposed to go and we can hear where it's lacking and that kind of thing. And this record in particular kind of played itself. Like it was all just so, the identity of everything was so well formed before we even started that it just kind of was, and it was great.
Yeah, it's no doubt, it's a great record. It seems like, the way you play music and the way you play rock music, it seems conventional, in the best meaning
I know what you
of
mean.
The word. But how tempting is it for you guys to go like, Let's try a modern production now and see what we sound like when we produce our record, like Bring Me the Horizon.
It's not. It's not tempting to us.
Okay.
I love, you know, like anyone, I love what I love. And I love classic rock and I love, you know, all the 90s stuff. And I love authentic playing. You know, we don't use the computer or anything like that to enhance anything. Like, the computer is simply a tape machine. It is simply recording. There's no tuning. There's no fixing of anything. It's about capturing a performance, because that, to me, is what is authentic. Like, as soon as you manipulate something, you're taking the human out of it, and I just don't see the point. Mm-hmm. I understand that music, you know, there's a lot of music that does do that, but that's not what I aim to make ever. I'm trying to capture being as you know, as vulnerable and bare and raw and honest as I humanly can be. And because I think that's the thing that is going to connect to people at the end of the day. And that's how I want to emote myself. And also when we get on stage, it's, you know, we turn up. It's fun playing music with your friends. Mm-hmm. And like, there is no production. There is no tracks. There's no click track. There's none of that. It's just the four of us on stage. We turn up and every night's different and it's exciting, you know?
Yeah, but that is so rare nowadays, because all those people go like, they aim for perfection.
I think perfection is in the imperfection. Like, that's the human quality that can't be emulated, and that's the magic. Like, that's what you're striving for.
But you must have like 1,000 young girls or boys or listeners that come to you and go like, you sound differently because the production sounds different. They're not used to this anymore.
Yeah, I guess I never even thought of it that way. I mean, I think our fans, I think, know what they're getting with us at this point. Like, we just did a very small club show in London at the Underworld, and we pulled from all aspects of our career, and it was very fun. And I feel very fortunate to have, that we have a fan base that likes, it seems to at least, that likes everything we do. Yeah. And, like, they actually listen to the full record. Like, I'm old school in that way. Like, I make an album, and the album says everything. It's hard for me to cherry pick songs out of that, and as they all stand on their own, of course, but you're not getting the complete story, you're not getting the complete picture. Like, I don't think in the modern paradigm, so it's very rewarding to have a fan base that understands that, I think, and cares about everything equally.
Talking about reward, what do you think this record's going to do for you once it's out? How do you measure success when it comes to this?
That's a good question, and I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. Because to me, success, like, I've already succeeded at what I want to succeed at, which was making the album.
Yeah.
You know, so to me, like, that's the success. Like, when I finish writing a song and it's a good song and I can take a step back from it and go yes to that, that's the most accomplished and successful I'll ever feel. Mm-hmm. And so everything that kind of comes after that, touring and playing and charts and all that stuff, like, it's great, it's cool, and touring's a lot of fun, and, you know, having number ones is super fun, it's cool, but at the end of the day, it's really just a screenshot that you send your mom. so, you know what I mean? I don't get my validation from that. I get it from actually making something, and so to me, success is just doing this forever and continuing on that journey, you know.
What was the hardest song on this record to finish?
Ooh. I don't know if any of them were. I mean, they all had different, I mean, because hard is a relative term. Like, you know, there's songs that we revisited that took longer to write and, you know, were over the course of time. Some came instantly. Some were emotionally more taxing than others to actually record. In the sense of what I was singing about and drawing from. So it varies, and I'm not sure I have a direct answer for that. It's kind of all of them were hard and because they're all very emotional, but all of them were also so well formed that the performance aspect of them was, it was just there in the palm of my hand to draw from, if that makes sense.
All right. All right.
It's also easy.
You're going to play, today's Wednesday and then it's Friday. On Friday, you're going to play.
Friday, thank you for that, because I don't know.
You're going to play Rock and Punk, and you're going to play Rock and Ring, according to me. You've played there, I think, 2 times before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have a special connection to those festivals?
Oh, they're so much fun. I mean, the first time we came over and did all the European festivals was on our first album, Light Me Up, and we had never...
2011, I think, or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And we had never experienced anything even remotely close to that at that point in time. So it was a mind-blowing experience, and the fact that they come around every year and we get to come back and revisit that, because there's nothing like the very beginning of a band. It's super fun. And when you're on that kind of stage in front of those audiences in that kind of community with... you know, like-minded individuals and friends. Like, I think Tom Morello's playing. I'm psyched to see him.
Yeah,
he's a good friend of mine. And it's just, there's a community at festivals that you don't get, you know, headlining or anywhere else. So looking forward to it a lot.
You're going to be on tour right after this, but you're going to come back in November, I think, to Europe.
We are.
Unfortunately, not to Munich.
Are we not coming to Munich?
No, you're not coming to Munich.
All right, well, I'll have to do something about that.
I think you have to.
Okay.
But what can we expect then? Do you take the 77 Kiss stage set and set the whole world on fire? Or?
Well, it's going to be a headline tour. So headlining is much different than a festival set. It's much different than an AC/DC opening set because it's our stage. So it's our show. It's our... rules, which means there are none, and so it's it makes for a very fun show because it never everything's on the table, and it's just I don't know, it's gonna be wild, it's gonna be really, really great. Like, I haven't been this excited about a headline run in I don't even know how long, because I'm so excited to play the new material and like in a boiling kind of fire in my stomach way, and so it's you'll feel that, and I that kind of you know, energy is unmatched. So come see it.
Yeah. We try.
Yes, please do.
Thank you very much.
He got it. He remembered. Thank you for watching.
And no more further questions, Your Honor.
Whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Subscribe to our channel for more rocking podcasts.